Be finding Romans chapter 6 in your Bible. Romans chapter 6, congratulations, Dr. Chappell, and to your family on this 33rd anniversary. Congratulations to this church. Lancaster, you have been a wonderful church, and so many of us have come and been refreshed here, been strengthened here, been helped here, and you've made an investment in our family. Our children have come to school here. We're just so grateful for what God's done in this place. But I want to say, it was at 33 when they crucified Jesus. But then he came out of the grave and did greater things. Let me tell you, what I mean is that God has great things in store for this church. And I believe the greatest days are ahead for Lancaster Baptist Church. The Bible says in Romans, you're in Romans 6, don't turn to it, but in Romans chapter 8, the Bible says that if God be for us, who can be against us? Well, you ask most Christians and we're cowering down in the church pew thinking everybody's against us. And that's true. We're living in a world today that is against us. But it's the same world that crucified our Savior. But if God be for us, who can be against us? And then he says in Romans chapter 38, he said, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. I think I need to remind all of us this morning that are saved that we're on the winning side. But more important than just being on the winning side, I think we need to start winning. And I think Christians ought to start seeing personal victory in their day-to-day lives. I want to ask all the saved in this room this morning, is there anything in your life that ought not to be there? Is there a stronghold in your life today that you just can't seem to get victory? Is there a sin that doth so easily beset you? Do you not have peace in your soul? Do you not have the love of Christ in you? Is there anything in your life that is keeping you from being everything God wants you to be? If so, why? Paul said, thanks be unto God which causeth us always to triumph in Christ. We're to be winning. A Christian should be living victorious. Let me ask you, church, today, how can the church conquer in this world if we cannot conquer sin in ourselves? If we cannot live victorious at home, how can we live victorious in the world? Now, I know some of you may not be in church. Maybe you're wondering today, man, how can I know that I'm going to heaven when I die? I can't be as good as these that are here today. Let me just remind you, friend, that Christianity is not bad people doing good. Christianity is not heathen people becoming religious. Christianity is dead people being made alive in Jesus Christ. There is a whole new life. And for you to understand victory today, you need to know the principles that God gives that show the victory that we have. So let's look at Romans chapter 6 and verse number 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Now notice this. How shall we that are dead to sin remain any longer therein? First word of verse number 3, know ye not, K-N-O-W, know ye not, that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Listen, Jesus came out of that grave alive, victorious, triumphant over sin, over hell, over the grave, and he gave us that same victory. So we ought to walk as he walked. But we cannot do it in our own strength. Look at verse number 6. He says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that from henceforth, from now on, we should not serve sin. Then he says in verse number 9, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. You see, this morning, I want you to understand, church, that we are living, as a Christian in this world, we're living in the victory of Jesus Christ. Amen. A Christian does not fight for victory, he is fighting from victory. Yes. Several years ago, my wife and I lived in Florida, and we were part of the Clay County Electrical Co-op. And I didn't know what that meant, I just knew that they wanted money every month. And one day, I got a letter from the co-op. I opened it up, and it was a wonderful letter. It had a check in it. Those are the best letters to get. I opened it up and it said, dear Daniel and Angela, congratulations on your victory in court. I looked at my wife and I said, sweetheart, did you know that we won a victory? She said, I didn't even know we were fighting. I said, well, we won a victory. Somewhere, sometime, there was a group of people that thought that the co-op was not sharing the dividends with all the people in there like they should, and that they were not distributing these equally and fairly. So some attorney somewhere filed a class action lawsuit on our behalf. We were unaware. And they went into a courtroom that we were unaware of against other attorneys that we were unaware of. And they had a legal battle in front of a judge that we were unaware of. And that judge that we did not know, he ruled in our favor. And we were victorious. I took a victory dance and I went down and I deposited that $3. I told my wife, I said, listen, we're going to McDonald's today. You can supersize. I mean, we're in the money. Now, let me just tell you that in a courtroom far away, we had no idea we won a great victory. I'm a victorious man in court. But I got news for you today that there is a greater letter from a greater court that some way yonder back in those days, there was an advocate who took my place and died for me at Calvary. And listen to me, he won a victory that I was unaware of. But the day came, I opened the letter and realized I had a check to cash. And see, if you're going to live a victorious Christian life, number one, there is a fact to know. There's a fact to know. You need to understand that there is a principle in place that when the Bible says that when Jesus died, you died. The Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit placed you into Jesus Christ, so when He died, you died. Suppose today that somebody had committed a great crime. We saw them in the act. The security cameras caught them. The blood was on their hands. The weapon, the murder weapon was still in their hands. And they were arrested and carted off to the jail. And the attorneys began to gather all the evidence and begin to file all the things they needed to do in court and begin to prepare for the case. And in those months leading up to the trial, that man died in jail. Would there be a trial? Would they bring his carcass before the judge and try this man? No. Why? Because he's dead. You see, there was a day I was under the condemnation of sin. There was a day that the wrath of God abided on me. I was guilty. I was a sinner. I was condemned to die. But then the Holy Spirit placed me into Jesus, and Jesus died, and with Him I died, and a dead man can't be tried. Amen. I'm dead, and not only that, but when He died, I died, but when He was buried, I was buried. So often we hear about the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ, but we forget that the gospel is three parts. There was a burial. Living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. But buried, He carried my sins far away. Jesus took my old man, that dead old carcass, into that grave, and He took my sins and buried them in the sea of God's forgetfulness, and they're still in that tomb somewhere. That old man, the old Dean, is dead and buried. But wait a minute, that's not the end of the story. That would be wonderful if that's all there was, but that's not all there is. Then when Jesus rose from the dead, I was raised with Him. Amen. I came out of that tomb alive with Him. And the Bible says, notice in verse number 6, it says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. There he is, dead and buried. But notice this, look in verse number 4. He says that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. See, there's a fact that you need to know, that you are dead, you are buried, and the life that you have now is Jesus Christ in you. Now, that's a fact to know. But I think most Christians know that fact. But here's number 2. The principle of victory number 2 is not only is there a fact to know, but there is a faith to reckon. Look in verse number 11. The Bible says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. And he said, reckon. Now, I pastored in Mississippi for 13 years. Reckon down there means, hey, is it going to rain? Well, I reckon. It means I suppose. But that's not what it means in the Scripture. In the Scripture, the word reckon means, it's an accountant's term. It means to count on it. It means to deposit it. It means to write checks off of it. It means the money is in the bank and you can cash checks on that money. It's good. Now, I'm just telling you today, the Bible says, now look, you may know that you're dead to sin, but now you need to act upon that and you need to start spending the money. You need to start spending the righteousness that Jesus Christ gave you. I was a youth pastor for a number of years, and youth pastors don't make a whole lot of money. I was out visiting for the church, and man, I was out knocking some doors, and I was hungry. All I wanted was a McDonald's hamburger. Now, you young people won't understand this, but I grabbed my checkbook, and I looked at the check register, and it said there was nothing in the account. And I got very upset. I was driving down the road, and I said, Lord, I'm out here serving you. I'm knocking on doors, inviting people to church, and I'm hungry. I don't have enough money for a 39-cent hamburger. I was complaining, and I turned the corner, and the sun's shining in my eyes. I can barely see. I pulled the visor down, and a piece of paper fell on my lap. I grabbed that piece of paper, and I looked at it. I pulled over to the side of the road, and I looked at it some more. I grabbed my check register. For the chapel, earlier in the week, somebody had given me a $75 check. And I had deposited that check, and I had the deposit receipt. But I looked at my check register, and I realized I had forgotten to put it in the bank, the register. It was in the bank, but I hadn't reconciled it. I hadn't reckoned it. I scrounged around. I found a quarter. I called my wife, and I said, sweetheart, I was going to use this quarter to get a hamburger because we're broke, but get dressed up. We're going out tonight. And we're not going to McDonald's like we did. We're going to Wendy's tonight. And we're getting Frosties. We got 75 bucks in the bank. We're going all in. Listen, I had money. I mean, I was singing all the way home. I'm in the money. I'm in the money. I had $75 that I didn't reckon. And I want to say to every believer in this room today, there was a death that was died for you. There was a burial that was buried for you. There was a resurrection for you. And all that is in Jesus Christ is yours today. Now, you need to know that, and then you need to put it in the account. But that's not all. You see, some people say, well, Pastor, I know that I'm dead to sin, but I just don't feel dead to sin. I know that I have this victory in Jesus, but I just don't feel that way. I mean, temptation comes knocking, and I answer. Many years ago, I played on the JV football team, and we were out running some wind sprints. We had a tough old coach, and he was making us run. And the center of our football team, he was a big boy. He didn't really run. He just kind of fell forward for a while. I just remember I was trying to encourage him. I looked over at him, and he was just kind of steamrolling forward. His arms were moving, but he wasn't going very fast forward. But all of a sudden, he looked like he was running the 100-meter hurdles. I don't even know if that's a thing, but he was doing it. This guy was jumping everywhere, and I thought, man, he's motivated. And then I started hearing him yell, snake, snake. We went over on the floor. There was a rattlesnake on our football field. Our coach went over and said, you bunch of sissies. He grabbed the yard marker and he came over and he grabbed that snake and he just put that yard marker, that pole, that thing right in the head of that snake and just crushed it and just was pushing that thing in the ground. That coach was just grinding that thing in the ground. We had one boy on our team. He was yelling like a cheerleader. He was scared of that, and he was in the background, and he was seeing the coach kill it, and he kept saying, is it dead? And the coach would say, yeah. And then that thing would flip around. That snake would wrap around the pole, and that boy would scream and holler, and he'd say, it's not dead yet. It's not dead yet. And the coach looked at him and said, he's dead. He just don't know it. Now listen to me. Your old man, that old me, that old nature, he's dead. He just doesn't know it. There's a fact that you need to know, that you're dead in Christ and that you've been buried in Christ and that now Christ lives in you. Amen. Somebody looked at Paul one time and said, Paul, how are you so victorious in this world? And Paul said, I'm not, I'm crucified. They said, Paul, what do you mean you're crucified? You're standing here talking to us and preaching to us. And Paul said, yeah, it's not I. It's Christ that liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You'll never be good enough to go to heaven until you reconcile the fact that you are dead in your sins and that Jesus died for them to carry them away. You died with him, and the life that he rose again in is the same life that he's offering you today. You see, today I'm not living a good life. There's nothing good in me. I'm living the life that I'm living by the faith of the Son of God. It is Christ in me, the hope of glory. Let me give you this last thing today as a principle. There's a fact to know. There's a faith to be reckoned. But listen to me. There is a freedom to be gained. Verse number 12 says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Look at verse number 18. He says, being made free from sin, ye become the servants of unrighteousness. Man, what an understanding here, that I was delivered from the slavery of sin into the servanthood of Jesus Christ. In the 1860s, we fought a war called the Civil War to end slavery in this country. Slavery didn't begin in America, but thank God it ended here. At the end of that war, Frederick Douglass had been talking to Abraham Lincoln, and they had drafted the Emancipation Proclamation. And he wrote that document freeing the slaves. But do you know that for years after the war, many slaves remained in slavery? Simply because they did not know they were free. Their masters did everything they could to keep them from learning to read, from learning to educate themselves, from learning from other people and hearing the news of their freedom. All the while they were living in this bondage, they were truly free. A higher power had set them free. And I want to say to those of you today, you see, maybe you've come to this church and you're looking for a new life. You're looking for something better. There's a sin that you cannot shake. I want you to know, you cannot shake that sin. You cannot do it on your own. But Jesus died for it. He was buried for it. And he rose again to give you his life. And in his power, you can break the bondage of sin and become the servant of Jesus Christ. You see, what that takes is, first of all, the dethronement of sin. The life of the believer, and those of us who have been saved, we need to look at sin and Satan and say, you have no place here. Let not sin reign in your mortal bodies. The Bible says to give no place to the devil. Not only the dethronement of sin, but the enthronement of the Savior. Now that self and sin and Satan are off the throne, we say, Jesus, you take the reins and the throne of my heart. King of my heart, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. And when you do that, you have the enslavement of self. And you say, now, Lord Jesus, I'm your servant. And let me tell you something. The servant of Christ is free. And he's free indeed. If you want freedom today, it's going to be found in the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He died for you, he was buried for you, and he rose again to live in you. Listen, when Jesus died, it was him giving himself for me. But when Jesus rose again from the dead, it was him giving himself to me so that he could live through me. Oh man, what a joy it is to know that Christ is in me. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, don't think for a minute that God sent his son to die on the cross just to get you into heaven. Oh no. God sent his son to die on the cross to get heaven into you. To give you eternal life. A new life. I'm not just a man in this life waiting for a better life in heaven. I have heaven in me. I'm enjoying it today. And one of these days, you're going to hear the news that Dean Miller died. Don't believe it. I didn't die. I just slipped away from this old body and I'm present with the Lord. Now listen, how do you get that? The Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. If you're not saved today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as a personal Savior, don't think that being religious is going to get you saved. Don't think that just becoming a better person is going to get you saved. No, you're not a bad person who needs to do better. You're a dead person that needs to be made alive. And Jesus is here. He said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. When you have abundant life, you're a conqueror. Christian, we are not sitting here to wait until Jesus rescues us from this world. No, we're to be in this world as lights in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. We are to show forth the glory of him who've called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And we are here today to show the world that Jesus lives. And that he reigns in power and victory. So many Christians are living beneath our privilege. Many years ago, my father-in-law gave me a Christmas present. He gave me a Christmas present that it was one of my favorite Christmas presents that I never used. He gave me a card for a car wash. We had a car wash in our area that when you pull up to it, they had a big menu over there of all the things that you could do for your car, and they had everything from the basic to the ultimate. The basic, they just basically spit on it, and then you just drove on. $8. The ultimate, you got out of the car, they drove it through, they washed it, they vacuumed all the soggy French fries out from under the seat, they cleaned everything, they armor-alled everything down, the wheels were shiny, and then they would always ask you, what kind of scent do you want in the car? So when you drove off, I mean, that thing had not a speck of dirt on it, you were driving, you were hot. I mean, it didn't matter how junky your car was, it felt like a Mercedes. And it smelled, I always got the new leather, and it just smelled like a boot store in there. He gave me this card, and he said, here, you've got this card for these car washes. So I pulled up there one day, and the teenage boy was out front, and I pulled up there, and I showed him my card, and he said, what kind of wash do you want? And I said, well, I didn't know how much money was on this card, and I didn't want to just use it all up right away, so I just started I would just choose the basic. They would take it in, spit on it, dry it off, and I would drive away. And I would do that every week. Once a week, on Friday, I would get a basic wash. And every once in a while, I would treat myself to the ultimate. Maybe once a quarter, I would save up and I would do the ultimate. I was always afraid. I didn't know how to check the balance. I didn't know what was on this card. And I didn't want to spend it all up in the first part of the year. And so, man, I just, every so often I get that ultimate. When I would get that, it just was a brand new feeling. Drive that clean car. Smell those boots. Toward the end of the year, I pulled up. The teenage boy wasn't out there. It was the manager of the car wash. When I pulled up, I had my card out there, and I showed him I have this card. And he just started writing stuff on my windshield. And he said, what kind of scent do you want? And I said, oh, wait a minute. What are you giving me? He said, this is the ultimate. And I said, well, I don't know if I have enough money on this card for the ultimate. I've been using it through the year, and I don't know how much money I have. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, I don't know how much money's left on the card. He said, that's the VIP card. I said, right, yeah, it says it right here, VIP. He said, that card entitles the holder to unlimited car washes all year long. I said, can you say that again? He said, you can have unlimited. I said, ultimate, you can have unlimited ultimate car washes all year long. I said, like every day? He said, three times a day. He said, you can wash this car until the paint comes off. I said, well, that's what I'm gonna do today. I called my wife and said, sweetheart, I'm not coming home for supper. I'm coming home in a car with a different color. I'm washing the paint off this thing. I'm gonna smell like a boot store for the next 6 months. Here I had had a card in my hand all year long that gave me free access to the ultimate. And I had been living on the basic. And I'm looking at so many Christians around the world today. We have a card in our hand that entitles the holder of eternal life to live in the ultimate of Jesus Christ, clean and pure and a sweet savor to God and to this world of salvation, to live victorious as conquerors in this world. And yet most of us are living on the basic. Let me say to you, dear friend, today, you can know that you know that you know that your sins are gone. And that Jesus Christ lives in you, that you have eternal life. And you don't have to wait to heaven to live that life. You can live it today in the power of Christ.